Thanks for listening to this message from the life of St. Bees. We're a church that loves to empower, equip and inspire. And in order to better fulfill this call, we're currently undertaking an audacious church relocation project. Find out more, including how you can take part, at www.goandgrow.london. Thank you, and may this message better help you to live a life full of adventurous faith.
Wonderful. Thank you, Becca. Brilliant reading. Masterful page turning, too. Thank you for that. Very grateful. I sprung that reading on her just a few minutes ago. So this isn't really the body of Jesus I'm just putting down here. So. Well, good evening. It's great to see you here this evening. Thank you for braving the weather and coming and joining with the rest of us tonight. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those ads or experienced an ad for a book or for a seminar, for a video series, or for a course. And the marketing says something like this. If you get hold of and apply this one simple principle, it will unlock your potential and it will change your life forever. Ever seen anything like that? And I've experienced many ads like that and read them, heard them, seen them. And I have to say, I'm slightly skeptical whenever I come across them. I think, what one principle is going to change my life and the lives of everyone else who ever attends this seminar or reads this book forever? I am slightly distrustful of such claims. Having said that, tonight I'm going to share something which, if you get hold of and apply this simple principle, it will unlock your potential and change your life forever. I want to speak to you this evening about something that I've entitled Rediscovering Authority, which is a title that I pinched from a friend of mine, Stuart, who, under his teaching, my eyes were opened to this principle, which if you take and apply it, it will unlock your potential and change your life forever. That was the first thing I wanted to say by way of introduction. The second thing I wanted to say to introduce this evening's teaching on rediscovering authority is that even though I am a church leader in a position of authority, everything I want to share with you tonight comes from my experience, not as a leader, but as a follower. I think whatever kind of leader I am, and I'm not brilliant at times, but sometimes I have my moments, I think I'm actually quite a good follower. I am someone who is, I think, reasonably good at submitting to the authority of whoever is in charge. And you'll see on the screens at the moment a picture of me playing the drums. That was just a few weeks ago at our midnight communion service on Christmas Eve, and I played the drums for the very wonderful Andy Yates, who was leading on piano and guitar, and also Mike Dore, who was playing double bass. I don't know if you came to that service. It was one of the highlights of my entire festive experience. And I think Andy would say that actually, as a follower of his lead, as he led the music, I was a pretty good follower. My approach as a drummer is that I'll have my opinions and I'll think, well, this would sound good playing this or sound good playing that, but actually I will follow the direction of the band leader. And if the band leader says, Colin, I want you to play a bit quicker, or Colin, I want you to play a little bit slower, I recognize on the drums it's a very decisive instrument and it can control the dynamics of the band, but I really just need to do as the band leader says, as he or she leads. And I would think that most of the people that I've ever played the drums for have been in other experiences where they are the boss and I am following. I think I'm pretty good and quite supportive at following their lead. So what I'm going to say to you this evening about rediscovering authority is stuff that I feel I have learned and sought to apply as a follower, even though I could give you a take on it as a leader. So those are my two little introductory comments. I think we should pray. Father, I want to thank you for what I believe you want to say to each one of us this evening. And we know whenever we dip into your word, it has the potential to change the course of the rest of our lives. But I believe particularly this evening, for all of us, to one degree or another, you want to get hold of us and help us to understand and engage with authority, your plan and purpose for authority on earth. in a way that will unlock our potential and will transform us to your glory's sake. So come and do that, Spirit of God. Through Jesus we pray. Amen. We have, I believe, an epidemic problem with authority in the West. A problem of epidemic proportions when it comes to authority in Western culture. If you doubt that, I invite you to talk to a teacher, to a police officer, or to a politician. And they will say, yes, we really do have a bit of a crisis in the West when it comes to authority. In general, I would say that we are really, really bad as a culture when it comes to authority. This is quite awkward for us as Christians because, according to the Bible, God is really, really into authority. God likes authority. We get that unavoidable impression when we read Scripture. So much so that, according to the Bible, when we rebel against authority, nearly always we are actually butting heads with God himself. Authority is a good thing. It is a central aspect of God's character. And this is a real problem for some Christians. Even me saying God really likes authority, God is an authority figure, God is into authority, that sort of smarts with a lot of people. They think, oh, I'm not sure that's true. Is that true? Is that true? I've pastored people for about 25 years, and I have noticed that over the last two decades, people have struggled more and more when it comes to engaging with and submitting to authority and exercising authority. I think as a culture, we've got worse and worse, and it has caused untold problems. In fact, I'll go as far as to say, probably behind every pastoral situation that I am brought into and I engage with, probably 95% of them have at least an element of people struggling with authority and not getting hold of God's will for authority in one form or another. Why is this? Why do we see this in the church? Well, we see this in the church because we have bought into the currency of our culture without realizing it. We've bought into the currency of our culture when it comes to authority rather than the currency of the kingdom of God. Now, in fairness, it's not surprising, is it, that a lot of us struggle with authority, given that most of us, well, in fact, all of us at one stage or another will have experienced authority done badly. I mean, let's face it, you just have to read through history to see dictators, or you just have to meet some of our dads to realize that actually most of us have experienced authority done badly, either in a really heavy-handed, overbearing, controlling kind of way that is oppressive, or authority done in a way that is passive and weak and resigned. Like all things that are good in God's creation, we have experienced a poor version of it. So it's with sympathy that I say, I think we do authority badly. And yet that doesn't change the fact that I believe God wants us to get in line with what it says in the Bible about authority and start doing authority well. God wants to change our broken mindsets, which is why I'm standing in front of you this evening. Now, fueling our faulty response to authority, helping us muck it up, is Satan. Satan is a rebel. Our currency, the currency of the kingdom of darkness, is rebellion. Whatever else you see of Satan, I believe at his heart, he is rebellious. The story that we understand from scriptures is that Satan was part of the celestial court, and he decided that he didn't like to do things God's way. He wanted to do things his way. His very essence is rebellion, and he hasn't stopped behaving in that way. We see it throughout the Bible, from the very beginning of the Bible, Genesis 3, where Satan undermines God's commands to Adam and Eve. Did God really say you shouldn't eat the fruit? Oh, surely, surely not. If you take of the fruit, surely you will not die. Right at the beginning of the Bible, we see it right at the end of the Bible. Revelation 12, where Satan, who leads the world astray, is described in Revelation 12 as being hurled down, no longer able to cause creation to rebel against its creator. We see it at the beginning, we see it at the end, and guess what? We see it throughout the middle bit as well. An example is Luke 4, where Jesus tussles with the enemy and the enemy comes to Jesus. And what's at the heart of the three temptations Jesus experiences in the wilderness? Is it not that Satan is saying to Jesus, why don't you do things your way, Jesus? Don't starve. Don't sit there. Don't stand there all hungry. Make yourself some bread. Don't do it God's way. Make yourself some bread. Hey, Jesus, why not put God to the test? Why not? I can give you the kingdoms of the world. I can give them to them a lot more easily than God's way. Ask me, I'll do it for you. Is this so-called God really good? I know. Why don't you take yourself up to the top of the temple and throw yourself down? Let's put God to the test. It's a nagging, undermining, rebellious spirit that is the essence of the temptations in the wilderness. The beginning, middle, and end of Scripture. Satan is, I believe, essentially rebellious. The whole Bible shows that more than anything else, he is a rebel, and his currency is rebellion against the way and the will of Father God. In stark contrast to Satan, Jesus models submission. Now, again, some of us wince slightly when we hear that word submission, probably for the same reasons when we wince at the word authority, because we've seen submission done badly. And yet the Bible is clear. Submission is a divine attribute which Jesus demonstrated in buckets. Nowhere is this more clear than in Philippians 2, where Paul, probably citing a song that was floating around at the time, Paul writes this in Philippians 2. He says, your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant. What did he do? He humbled himself. He became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus models submission to the authority, to the will of Father God. We see it in Gethsemane, where Jesus submits to the will of the Father, then he submits to the Jews to be tried, and then he submits himself to the Romans to be crucified. And we know at any stage he could have called down legions of angels and been set free, but no, he chose to submit. Hebrews 12, we are urged to follow this example of Jesus, who suffered death, even death on a cross, remembering, as the writer of Hebrews puts it, that God disciplines those he loves. Well, there's a third word that often makes us wince, the word discipline. Because very often we've seen discipline done badly. And yet the Bible presents God's discipline as a life-giving thing, something which is part and parcel of coming under God's authority. If we want to live under God's authority, we need to be prepared to receive his discipline. And sometimes God will delegate that job to leaders who need to speak into our lives. And I've been so thankful for leaders who have spoken into my life and who have shown me God's discipline. Jesus gladly put himself under God's discipline as he surrendered to God's authority. Now, let's not be confused by what submission is. If you've seen submission done badly, maybe what you have seen is a weak person being dominated. That is not what the Bible means when we are urged to submit to authority. Submission is not a weak person being dominated. Submission is a strong person choosing to yield to the will of another. I'll say that again. Submission is not a weak person being overpowered. submission is a strong person choosing to yield to the will of another. That's submission, and that is what we are called to from the Bible. Satan is a rebel. His currency is rebellion. Jesus models submission. His currency is submission to authority. Now, you may have heard it said, I thought Jesus was a rebel. In fact, one of the reasons I come to church is because I like Jesus. Jesus the rebel. And in a sense, yes, Jesus was a rebel. But you've got to ask yourself, what was he rebelling against? Was he just rebelling against authority? Just saying, oh, you can't tell me what to do. I'm my own man. I'm God, you know. No. Jesus rebelled against the sinful norms of his culture and the sinful norms of the religious tradition, which had lost sight of the ways and the purpose of God. Jesus did rebel, but he rebelled against sinfulness, where to do what he was supposed to do would actually be flying in the face of the will of God. To say Jesus was a rebel is only true, but it can be very misleading. I can think of an example in Scripture where we have modeled someone deliberately not submitting to authority, and it's the apostles in Acts. I think it's Acts chapter 4. It might be Acts chapter 5, 4 or 5, where they're cautioned by the Sanhedrin not to speak again about Jesus. And they choose not to submit to that authority because that is contrary to God's will, of course. And they go out and the very first thing they do is speak to others about Jesus. But they are examples that are few and far between. By far, the weight of Scripture is for the people of God to submit to authority. The Bible reading, which we heard just 16 minutes ago, was written to arguably the most mature recipients of all the letters in the New Testament, the church in Ephesus. There was no big thing that Paul felt he had to correct the Ephesian Christians on. They weren't in any heresy or anything. He was just saying, listen, you know this much, now lift your eyes. See that you are seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Come on, raise your game. They were a very mature and together church. They weren't perfect. And the passage, that long passage, began with the words, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then Paul goes on to address Christians of all manner of background, male and female, master, slave, young and old, people of all different backgrounds, different culture, different personalities, different positions in life. You are to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. It is counterintuitive. It is countercultural. And yet it is Father God's intention for us to submit to authority. It's right there in Scripture. And I'm going to share some more Bible verses as well before we get into praying. And I believe if we get this right, it is a principle which I believe if we get it right and we learn how to submit to authority, which means then we move in greater authority in the things of the kingdom, I believe it truly will unlock our potential and cause us to live incredibly fruitful, transformed lives for God. And I've seen the converse, where people haven't done that and their lives are withered and shriveled. Just trying to do this, and I don't say that I do it well, but I think I do it pretty okay. But I've had experiences of succeeding and failing at this. An example, I was just thinking, I ought to give you an example from my own life. A time when I've done it really well, I suggested earlier playing the drums. There was another time when I was playing the drums, and it was at the Soul Survivor and New Wine conferences, and there was a skate park for the Soul Survivor, and I was told by the band leader, I was playing the drums in the main venue. It was a real honor, a real privilege, and I was loving doing it. And I played at two Soul Survivor events, and I was told by the band leader, he said, whatever you do, Colin, you may not go skateboarding because if you do, you might hurt yourself, and I want you not hurt for playing the drums. And I said, oh, yeah, absolutely right. Yes, boss, no problem. And then I eventually couldn't resist it, and I went because I had these huge skate ramps. So I did a really big drop-in and skated for a little while. And then there was someone else, and I said, oh, I'll show you how to do a drop-in. And I began to do that, and I came off, and I didn't have any pads on. And I knocked my elbow. I was like, and I went white and I nearly passed out. And I thought, well, that's okay, that's okay. And I was like, you're all right. Yeah, yeah, I'm fine, I'm fine. The following day, I could barely move my arm without feeling faint. And I still went and played the drums, sort of one-handed, trying to pretend. This was a large venue and I managed to get away with it. And but eventually it became clear that I was incapacitated. I went to hospital, I got an x-ray and said, you've cracked your bone. And that was it. I had 2 weeks, the rest of the New Wine Conference and Soul Survivor C, where I couldn't play the drums. And I was crushed. And I had to say sorry. And but then I had to go and I said, well, what am I going to do? And Mike Pilibachi, who's leading the conference, said, well, you can't play the drums anymore, but why don't you go and join one of the ministry teams? So I went and joined one of the ministry teams. And on the ministry team, the leader of the ministry team was this young guy. I think he was like 17 or 18, and he was a great guy. And I decided what I want to do is submit to this guy and be the best and most, even though I was a lot older than him, a lot more experienced, I want to be the best member and the most encouraging and submissive member that he had on his team. And I saw great fruit from behaving in that way. Well, I chose to submit to this young leader. So I did badly, then I did well. An example of me doing really badly with submitting to authority. The same band, we were due to do a recording, and long story short, me and a few others in the band had a real beef with the producer. We didn't really like this producer, and we decided that he wasn't the right producer. So we had a day's rehearsing with this band, and I went out of my way to show this producer that I was unhappy with him in classic passive-aggressive ways. I didn't smile, and when he made suggestions, I didn't take them, or I did, but I did them grudgingly. I did a real muck-up of trying to submit to his authority. Guess what happened? I got dropped from the album. They got another drummer to come and play. When I have submitted to authority, I've seen great things. When I have not submitted and I've rebelled and taken the way of Satan, I've seen disaster happen. And I've observed it. I've observed it in other people's lives. I've observed, without exception, people who moan about the NHS, or people who moan about their school, or moan about the trains. Actually, people who moan about the trains, I do have some sympathy there. But people who moan about the management at their gym, or moan about their bosses, I've seen again and again this rebellious spirit that causes their lives to wither, and they never develop in the things of God, and they, by and large, have difficult and unhappy lives. Without exception. I've also seen people at the other end of the scale. I'm going to come close to Michael now as I describe holiness. People who, they've not been blind. They've not just followed blindly and say, yeah, yeah, whatever you say, I'll do it. They're aware of the faults and the shortcomings of their leaders, of their bosses, and the people who manage stuff. But by and large, they've tried to see the good, and they've tried to think, is there a way that I can thankfully and happily, out of reverence for Christ, because it says it in the Bible, submit to this authority in my life? And without exception, where people have done that, I've seen their lives blossom. It hasn't always been easy, but I've seen their lives be fruitful and the things of God come alive. I wonder where you would place yourself on this scale, because we're all on the scales there somewhere. Really bad, probably no one here. Really good, probably some of you here, or somewhere in between. It's what the Bible teaches. James 4, verse 6 and 7 says, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Number one, we are to submit ourselves to God. But there's more. Our Bible reading earlier, Ephesians 6, as I said, says that we are to submit to the authority in our family settings. How are you at submitting to the authority figure in your family? Maybe you are the authority figure in your family. Well, when you weren't, when you were younger, did you do it well or did you do it badly? Guess what? God wants you to submit. Or find a way of submitting to whoever is the leading authority figure in your family. Who is that? God wants you to find a way of submitting. He doesn't want you to lay down to abuse. Remember, submitting is not being crushed and pressed down. Submitting is a strong person choosing to yield to the will of another. Scripture says We are to submit to God's authority, to the authority in our families and our domestic settings. Scripture goes further. It talks about church settings. Hebrews 13 verse 17 says, "Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you." Oh boy, I could labor this point, I could tell you. 2 decades in ministry, I could go on and on and on about times as a leader that I haven't seen this happen, and times that I have seen this happen. But because of what I said earlier, well, I really want to speak from my experience as a follower more than my experience as a leader, I'm not going to. I'm just going to point you to that scripture and leave God to do the rest. So we've got God's authority, we've got authority in our families, we've got authority in church. But the Bible goes even further. The Bible tells us to submit to secular authorities in society. In things godly, we are to submit to secular authorities out of reverence for Christ. Romans 13 verse 1 says, "Everyone must submit to the governing authorities." Everyone must submit. Not those of you who feel like it today. Everyone must submit to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. These authorities might not operate in the way that God wants them to, but God has delegated his authority to the governments of this world. And we are to recognize that and to submit to their authority. The authorities that exist, according to the Bible, have been established by God. Consequently, and I almost can't believe that this is here in Scripture, but here it is. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. The Bible doesn't pull its punches in this area. Why? Because I believe if we get this right, it will transform our lives. My little girl is at school, and a primary school, and there's another kid in her class. And when her teacher says to the class, "Okay, guys, I want you to work in pairs. This girl in my kid's class will find every reason why that's a bad idea, and I don't want to work in pairs. I don't want to work with her, and I don't want to work with her." And then when the teacher says, "Okay, I just want you to work individually. I want you to get on something quietly," this kid will find every reason why working on her own is not the right thing, and she'll tap her pen and be distracting. And when they say, "Oh, I want you to work in groups," she'll find every reason why she doesn't want to work in groups. She wants to work in pairs, or she wants to work on her own. And when eventually the teacher will say, "Listen, can you stop distracting others?" and she gets told off, the kid will sit there and she'll smirk and she'll do this whole head action thing, which I know some kids are really good at doing, type thing. And when the kid will, and when the teacher turns her back, the kid will stick out her tongue at the teacher. And my kid is like, my kid's grown up with, a really healthy understanding of authority, but this child hasn't. And when Rosanna, my little girl, comes home and she tells me about this kid, and I hear stories of other kids who do this, behave in this way, my heart breaks. And I wish that I could get hold of this child and say, "Listen, don't you realize you are on a path to destruction? And it might seem really big and clever, but actually you're following the purposes and the will of Satan, according to the Bible. This is not God's will for you, and it will result in your upset and your destruction." I know lots of the teachers, and guess what? I know lots of the parents, and guess what? I meet this kid's parent, and her mum is just the same. Her mum's right over here. I just think, this poor family, and I pray for them, and I pray for opportunities to maybe challenge them and to say, "Hey, God has got something better than this locked-in mindset for you." I don't have the opportunity to talk to this kid, but I do have the opportunity to share this evening. Father God is big into the idea of authority, and he wants us to get the hang of submitting healthfully. Father God delegates his authority on earth to human figures. They don't always do the right thing. And then sometimes, like the Acts 4 thing, we need to use our judgment and think, do you know what? The government's telling me to do something, or my boss is telling me to do something. This is not right in Christ. I cannot submit out of reverence for Christ to do this. But by and large, probably 90% of the time, 99% of the time, when we are challenged to do something by an authority and we really feel like not doing it, the will of God is for us to find a way of submitting. Jesus did. It is the currency of the kingdom. The currency of the kingdom of darkness is not to do that. We need to learn how to be under authority if we're going to be in authority. Or to put it in a way that rhymes, we need to learn how to yield to authority if we're going to wield authority. And I realize I've spent the vast majority of this evening, in fact the whole of this evening really, just talking about what it means to yield to authority. And if you want to know what I think about how we then exercise authority, there's a very good sermon of mine online on St. Barnabas' website called Spiritual Warfare. So if you're interested, you can go and have a listen to that. I think it's one of my best sermons ever. I preached it just before I went down with pneumonia, actually. So it's very dramatic. I've got a very husky voice. I believe if we get authority right, it changes things forever. It unlocks our potential and it causes us to be fruitful and creative in the way that Father God designed. There's four ways on the screens that I believe God wants us to submit to authority. But what I want to do now is put up a series of statements. And just some of you might find yourselves over here with regard to these statements. Some of you might find yourselves over here with regard to the statements. The majority of us, including me, will find ourselves somewhere in between the two. Lawrence, my machine hasn't got them, so can you stick up the first one? So I wonder how well this describes you or where you're coming from. I hate being told what to do. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever said that? In general, I just really don't like it. Next one. I often excuse myself from following the rules. I do it with a laugh. I do it, you know, in a fun kind of way. But actually, I do that quite a lot. Next one. I speak critically of those in positions of authority. Well, who doesn't? We all do it, right? But actually, I find myself doing it quite a lot. I do often criticize and moan those who are in authority. I recognize that in me. Is that true of you? Next one. I think authority is usually about being controlled or dominated. Maybe this evening you come tonight and up until now you've always associated authority with being pressed down under the cosh. Well, that is not God's will and way with authority. It's a lie that Satan has used to help you conspire with his will of rebellion. Next statement. I will only submit to authority if I agree what's being said. This is a subtle one. We say, yeah, no, I submit to authority. I'm a great follower. Until I get asked to do something I don't want to do, then you'll see really where I'm at when it comes to authority. Is that true of you? Next one. I'm better at being in authority than I am at being under authority. I know lots of leaders who are like that. They're really good when they're in charge. But when they're not in charge, you can just see they're itching to take over, to take control. You like that at all? Where would you be on this scale? Next one. I do not view my response to human authority as a response to God. Oh, it's quite different. When, you know, when I'm dealing with human authority, it's nothing to do with my relationship with God. According to the Bible, actually, it is. And the last one. Oh, that was the last one. Great. Maybe one of those clicks with you. Maybe it doesn't. I'm not going to invite people to stand in response to any one of them. In fact, I'm not even going to invite people to respond in a way that identifies you away from the crowd. What I'm going to do is say, if you are able, I'm going to invite you to stand. And as we stand and Michael and the Baron return, I'm going to lead us in prayer. And it's going to be quite a long time of prayer. And I hope that's okay. If you need to go, please do. And as we go, it might be things that we pray into, or the Spirit of God touches you, and God particularly calls you out on something. So, if you can, if you've got knee problems, or whatever, or back problems, please join me by standing. and we're going to pray. Mike, can you play something delicious? Lovely. We named the band. We've got two Mikes and one Isaac. The band this evening is Misaac. Oh, that is delicious. It's got a capo on, you see. We get good stuff now. Father, a bit of a heavy one tonight, but I believe, Lord God, if we get hold of what the Bible teaches about submitting to authority...